But I'm going to tell you, if you just took that one piece, your practice will grow exponentially from that one thing. It's awesome to have you on this amazing summit. We have Practice Growth and Marketing Summit, where we get to learn the key marketing strategies from some of the busiest chiropractors on the planet who are doing stuff right now, who have grown amazing practices, not only grown amazing practices, but also impacting our communities in a big way. So I really wanted to get people who are doing great stuff, whether it's marketing in other fields of chiropractic, but we just wanted to hear from some of the best in the world. So first of all, let's welcome Dr. Dan Knowles. You guys know him? Say hi.
Hey, good to see you all. I am so grateful to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here today. And if you don't know, Dr. Daniel Knowles is the founder of the Mile High Movement, which is an incredible event. I'm speaking at the event this year. And I think, how many people do you have attend that last year?
Last year was 450.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I know this year you've got a big year coming up because it's anniversary of some sort, isn't it?
It's our seventh year. It's hard to believe it's our seventh year, but people are already, we're already so far ahead of registration from where we were last year. It's going to be bigger, better. And every year people say, like, this has been the best one yet. And I always think I've got to raise the bar. So I've got to come up already with how to raise the bar for this year.
Cool. Awesome. Well, listen, if you haven't booked a ticket yet, you have to be there. It's going to be loads of fun, a great event. And we're going to be, I'm going to be on stage. I'm going to be sharing some stuff. And I know that Dr. Dan's got some incredible stuff for you. So let's get stuck in. The reason I wanted to talk to Dr. Dan, because he's not only a mover and shaker in the profession, he's also in practice. He's got an incredible practice. So let's get right down to the nuts and bolts. Tell us how long you've been practicing for, and then we'll take it from there. And where's your practice? How long have you been practicing, and how did you get into chiropractic?
So I am in Colorado, Boulder, Colorado. I have been in practice for 22 years, 20 years in Colorado. And I got into chiropractic reluctantly because actually my mom had gone to chiropractic school and she married a chiropractor. And the last thing as a teenager I wanted to do is the same thing my parents did. Right. So I said, I'll never do what they did. But my mom is actually married Dr. Donald Epstein. He's the developer of Network. So in listening to him over and over for years, it was just like, this is amazing stuff. I couldn't resist becoming a chiropractor. I was so called to be a chiropractor. And myself and my wife have had a family practice for 20 years, seeing a large number of people. Yeah. And now that's grown to really consulting, teaching network, teaching technique, and also founding the Mile High event.
Very nice. So let's go right back to the beginning. You opened your practice. Was it always just a huge success? Have you, tell us about some of the challenges you had in the beginning. Tell us about some of the things that, you know, right at the beginning, you wish you had known now when you opened your practice in the beginning. Tell us about that.
Such a great question. And it was not a huge success. In fact, I will definitely be first to admit, when I practiced in South Carolina, I had several times where I had emotional breakdowns, crying on the floor. Why did I do this? And I'm failing. So, you know, I've been there too, and I've experienced that. And the thing, if there is one thing that I wish I had known then, it's to care about the practice member and care about their results, and that they need you more than you know them. Because so often your headspace is how, because of student loans, because of education, because of you have to pay a mortgage, your headspace and heart space is in the wrong place. And that focus is, man, I've got to pay the mortgage, I've got to pay the rent, and people can smell that, they can feel that, and it really, it's a game that you have to pivot your consciousness that you are able to change that. And a lot of people struggle out of never really launch because they don't pivot that. I've seen people that are in 20 years of that challenge and they can't do that. They're so focused on them. And really, the having the certainty and the conviction that people need you more than you need them, and what you do is of such value. I had this time when I was having a breakdown about this in my first year of practice, and I got on the phone with my dad. Who would I get on the phone with, right? He's a well-known, super successful chiropractor, and my stepdad. You know, I said, what do I do? And he asked me something. He said, who should be the wealthiest doctor in your town? And I, not even knowing what he was asking, I said, well, I don't know. Who should be the wealthiest doctor, right? And I said, he said, no, Danny, you should be the wealthiest doctor in your town because, what you have is so valuable. You're the most valuable service. And how valuable you have to share is so valuable. You're so skilled. That should bring revenue. And it completely changed or shifted my thinking because I never thought I should be the wealthiest doctor in the town, because why would that be? I'm just a chiropractor, right? Versus that, you know, I have something of such value. And I remember that story. I'm in Boulder, Colorado, and I practice close to my home. We started small. We had a little apartment. I really didn't have help from my parents, and people think we did, but like I remember seeing the money go down, like how much we had in savings, and hoping that the collections came up to pass, you know, before I ran out of money when we opened up here. And there was this day, and I went back and forth to my home, to my office every day, and I saw this house. And I saw this house every day to and from work, sometimes four times a day. And I said, that's an incredible home. I want to live there. We're going to live there someday. And I thought it like every day. I went back and forth to my office. And one day I was driving home and there was a for sale sign. And I didn't make it home. I went right into the driveway and found the information and followed up. And long story short, we ended up getting that home. So like the power of visualization, and I wasn't even really thinking like I was visualizing it. It just was manifesting because I saw it every day. Yeah. After we closed on the house and we were walking with our dog and our kids, a neighbor came up and said hello and said, we have the biggest house in the block, right? And this neighbor said, oh, well, what do you do? And I said, I'm a chiropractor. He said, oh, wow, the chiropractic business must be pretty good, you know, because I was like, well, and he was a medical doctor. And so like that thing, that story from way back when, like came up to my head. Oh, interesting. You know,
I'm interested there. This is a practice growth and marketing summit, right?
Right.
And we, Dr. Dan and I have spoken before on podcasts and things. And, you know, we can talk strategies, we can talk tactics all day, and we can do all that. There's a couple things I want to dive in there with you in a moment, like some stuff that everyone should do in their practice that's a basic, simple thing. I want to ask you that question in a moment. But what I am going to say is, you know, you spoke about vision. First of all, one thing you said there was, you know, that you said the patients can, your clients, your members can feel it when you need it. So one of the greatest sayings I've heard, and it's shifted for me, and the same thing that you said is necessity drives away opportunity. So, you know, like, and if you're watching this now and you know, do you know, like when you started your practice and you needed to convert people and you needed to close people, you needed to do all those things, and it just didn't happen, you know? When you needed new patients, there were no damn new patients. When you needed to be busy, it's like, it's when you get busy and you don't need new patients and things like that, it just starts flowing, right? So necessity drives away opportunity. But I just want to ask you there about, go for it.
I want to say something about that. That's the mantra that destroys chiropractic, is this. And marketers know this, and they use it in their advertising, okay? People often think their favorite chiropractic mantra is above, down, inside, out, or the power that makes the body heals the body. The thing that you repeat is a mantra, right? It's not that. This is the most famous, most used chiropractic mantra, and it destroys your practice. I need new patients, okay? Because as soon as you're saying, I need new patients, you're going to repel them because you're in the state of need. The new patients need you.
Got it.
It's just exactly what you're talking about. That's such a vital thing. And when you stop saying, I need new patients, your success will skyrocket.
So you've just spoken about language and visualization, which is so interesting, you know, and I hope when you're watching this, the reason I'm doing this summit is because I'm obviously speaking to people who have been very successful, and as our good friend who you know, Tony Robbins, says, success leaves clues. So you've spoken about the language you use in your practice, and you spoke about visualization. So maybe just quickly touch on that for me. You know, you spoke about visualization to, you didn't know you were doing it, but to get that house, that dream house you wanted. So when I say visualization for your practice, has anything come up for you when I say that? You should fantasize about your dream practice. You should talk. You think about it. You should visualize it. You should know what it looks like. So anything to add to that?
Oh yeah, 1,000%. Okay. Yeah. The times where we've had stellar growth is where I've been on the ball with that, and there are times when I'm not. Right. Mm-hmm. We all have slipping and checking in every area of our life. However, the biggest growth times in my practice, one of the exercises that I did. Was I found the house I wanted, the vacations I wanted, the car I wanted. And what I did at this time, this is before cell phones, you could do it differently, okay, was that I took them out of magazines and I put them in a binder. And before I went to sleep, I'd flip through it every night. I had a list of the goals of practice, numbers of patients, numbers of visits and all of that, and the numbers of money and so on. And I had pictures of this car, we're going to travel to this place, and I would just flip through it. It would take me less than 5 minutes, right? And I would just flip through the images, because your mind, you know, is fertile ground, and it works while you're sleeping. So I want those to be the last thing I see before I go to sleep. And then in the morning, I have a morning ritual. Later on, what I did was I took those pictures and those numbers and I put them on my phone. Mm. So I put them as like a slideshow. Mm. So I could just flip through them like this, and it'd be the first thing when I woke up. I'd brush my teeth. I'd sit down before I do my little meditation, and I'd flip through the images on my phone, because you know, the world changed. But the same thing, you just get those images of where we're going. What are the things? Because if you can't see it, you know, it's not going to happen. Or like your car. Right? Like if you have a dream car, did you go test drive it? You can test drive any car, right? But if you say you want to have, you know, a Ferrari, did you ever test drive one? Like go to the dealership, put dress nice and go test drive one, you know? Otherwise it's not, you know, a real goal. It's a dream.
Wonderful. So I just wrote a couple of things down there, which is so nice. And you said every night. And the word that comes up for me is discipline. Okay.
Yeah.
So it sounds woo woo, like, you know, if you're watching this right now and you don't, so I've got vision boards and I've got the same thing, and, you know, I wake up every morning and I've got rituals and routines. But, you know, I've been quite recently, when I look at our, like, I've been quite recently used this concept that success is boring. And what I mean by that is, like, there's nothing sexy about flipping through the same pages every single night of your goals, right? But, like, success is boring sometimes. It's getting to those disciplines. So I just, first of all, I hope you're taking notes if you're listening to this right now, because Dr. Dan's dropping some incredible stuff, which is really cool. I want to ask you a question about some nuts and bolts in the practice. So you know that, like, I enjoy talking, shifting the conversation to, I spoke to you about previously about this, there's BD and PD, PD being your personal philosophy and growth, and your, like, philosophical growth within the chiropractic profession, but you've also got business development and the fundamentals that work in any business, and they're universal. They are business laws that work in any business, whether that's you need a marketing department and you need to understand your accounts, et cetera. So what would you say has been fundamental to helping you grow over the years? And we've spoken marketing a little bit before, but really, like, ground root stuff, what would you say to someone you've got to have? If you had to have one thing or two things, what would that be from a marketing / new client acquisition perspective, something like that?
So two things that I would say. Number one is not the marketing part, but what you're doing in the office to assess a person.
Got it.
Because My really firm values are that you have to be doing some outcome assessment that you're showing a person of what's going on with them that they visually can see. I'm not going to talk about which type, but you have to have something like that. And that you're recommending a course of care to get an outcome.
Nice.
Those two things are as important as the marketing you do, because you could do a stellar Facebook ad campaign and a stellar screening. And then when the person comes in the door, if you're recommending, you know, some minimal number of visits to see, you know, and see, hey, try this and like it. If you feel good, we'll continue. And you're not having some kind of initial assessment and then reassessing it, don't even bother doing the marketing.
Yeah, got it.
It's a leaky bucket.
Got right? it.
And I see that so often. So you've got to get that part in, right? And you can go, you know, all levels of equipment, but you know, you can do things on a small budget too. But you need to have something that you're recommending, your course of care. We don't define it. There's different rules, regulations, and you know, cultures. And you have to have something that they can see, this is what's going on with me, and you're going to measure it again later.
Objective measurement.
Yes, that is a key. Otherwise, don't even market.
Okay. Got it.
So that's number one. Number two, in your outreach, in your marketing,
yes,
it's multifaceted. You have to have multiple lines in the water, and those have to be going all the time.
Love it.
Want to do is build them into your system so you don't even have to think about them. They just happen. So you don't want to be in that place of I need new patients.
Yes.
You're thinking where your next new patient is coming from. You build into your practice some things that are ongoing always, and you might put a different spin on them. You might do, you know, put different, you know, new wheels on the car and make it, you know, paint it differently, but you're doing the same things habitually over and over again every single month. And sometimes you'll, you know, strike oil, and sometimes you won't. But if you have multiple fish and multiple lines in the water, you're going to catch a lot of fish. And when one isn't working, you move the line a little bit. So you have to have that process. And I'll do that while I map out the whole year. I do community wellness dinners, dinner with the doc.
Yes.
I know that they're going, I do that. I've done them for 15 years. If I've done them for 15 years, do you think like I just doing it because I want to feed a lot of people, right? You know, like I've got to be making money on it. Otherwise I wouldn't keep doing it. Right.
I've
got to be getting patients on it. So I will look, I want to do it. I know I want to do it every month. I'll plan the whole year. I'll schedule the whole year. That's happening January. There's where all the dates, it's set up with the restaurant. I don't have to think it again. Right. So, and that's it. I've got my titles, I got my locations and times, and then it's done. So, right. So it's just built in. And then in my results review, I'm going to tie in that it's just every time in my results review with people that I am saying, and you're coming to the dinner, right?
Nice.
But I don't second guess it. I have a process of how I do it, but that is built in that they are going to the community dinner with a guest, right? So, and again, it's built in. I know people will bring new patients because they'll bring friends and they'll refer people to it, right? Then the other thing is classes. I'm an addict at doing classes. I do so many classes in office, out of office. We pretty much have a class a week, more or less. Mm-hmm. In our office and have forever. And I don't do them because I just want to stay late and, you know, not see my kids till later. I do them because I want to educate people and because they make an impact, because people will refer people, even if they don't bring new patients, guests to the talk, they will become more valuable to your practice because they will refer people and they will stay longer. People that are educated stay in care longer.
And engaged.
They're engaged.
Hard. Like, you know,
they're engaged. And that has to happen. So that fuels it. I mean, the people that never go to class, if you didn't even have a class, guess what? You're going to get less referrals and people are going to stay in care less, right? And they're not going to get the most out of care. And you want people to get a lot out of care. Then the next thing is, so I talked about dinners. I talked about talks, about dialing them in. The other one that's really important is community building. And this is something that's pivoted for me in the last couple of years, which is I've realized that there was a time, and I practiced a while, I practiced, you know, over 20 years. And so I practiced before email, right? So, so that was, you know, there was a difference. I practiced before cell phones being something that was social media and having a website and was important. I've actually practiced without a website. You know, we didn't even have one at some point because it wasn't a big deal. So I've seen different changes. People right now are information overload. They're information overloaded. And they're connection deprived and community deprived. They're information overloaded and connection and community deprived. There was a time where I could do a class about five keys to lowering your cholesterol without drugs. And we'd pack it easily. Like people would flock to it. And now if people wanted that kind of information, they would do this.
Yeah.
They would pick this up and say, okay, well, how do I do cholesterol without drugs? And they'd have a ton of information.
Yeah.
Right? There's so much information. So we had to switch our communication and experience to making our events a community experience. Because with all of this stuff, they're having actually less connection. They're more disconnected than they ever were before, and they're hungry for connection. So if your events can create connection and community, that's of huge value, and people will come to that more. So create that experience of your offices. It's not just information, but they want to be part of your community, and they'll bring other people to your community.
Okay. First of all, I'll just recap a little bit of what you mentioned there, but I am such a huge fan of what you've just mentioned. It's so important. Like, you know, what you said, do you think I just do the talks because I want to be home later? As I say, I'm the most simple. This is very simple, guys. Like, if Dr. Dan does the 20-something years in practice and it works, just do the community events, just do the talks, just whatever, dinner the docs. So very, very valuable. I've got a little saying with my crew that I always say the secret to success is to show up. We are, like, you've got to show up to the event. It's important. And yes, is it a pain in the ass sometimes? Yeah. It's not always that you want to be, you know, it's hard work sometimes, you know, but it's important for people to understand that that's how you build a community, to get out there and be with people. So I love what you said there. I'm going to ask one final question of you. Is because we've gone down the route of talks, I'm such a huge fan of that. If you had to give me three pieces of advice or a piece of advice or someone to really make their events, you said the times have changed. People used to flock to the information. Now you've got to like maybe work a little bit harder to either get show up or more community. So when I say that to you, what pops up for you? And I say, what two or three things would make your events great or put more people in the room, etc.?
Create connection, community.
Okay.
So we can do things where rather than me particularly doing a talk on cholesterol, on the spine, on back, whatever the topic is, instead of that, I can collaborate and partner with someone in my community that's an expert in that area. Like we just did this. Yeah. We found some, rather than me doing something about nutrition, because people want to learn about it, not because we're a chiropractic office, but we want to provide wellness education opportunities. We collaborate with someone locally, happen to be a practice member, that does cooking and nutrition, like so you can teach you how to cook for nutrition. And instead of her doing a class about it, she actually did a cooking class. So cool. People have food. And they paid for it. So they paid to be at the class.
Okay. Wow.
They sold tickets to it. And she was local. So she co-promoted it to her clients. We did a Facebook type interview. We did a live video. We did several of those things. People, we sold tickets to it. And then people had food because they were learning to do something. So there was a connection, community experience. Where if I just said, I'm going to do a class on cooking for great digestion, there's a little flatness to that. It doesn't have the same depth. So you want to bring depth to the things that you do, right? So again, we do a practice member of the week appreciation event. Every quarter, every week, we have a practice member of the week, and we award a person or acknowledge them for being a practice of the week. They write, this is the longest standing thing I do. They write down what they love about the office. We take a picture of them with us, and we put up and we make a social media post out of it. We send the link to it to them so they share it. But then what we do is the every quarter we take the 12 practices of the week and we go out to dinner, right? And we would do a talk and they would bring guests or friends, and we would stay and have dinner with them. It was really a community building thing.
Yeah.
We would do a talk. And then we realized this cultural shift in the US. And so what we did was, instead of us doing a talk, another talk about chiropractic, we did something fun with them. So like we took them to mini golf and they loved it.
Yeah.
Right? There was no talk. We did it, and they brought their friends, and then they brought more referrals. Then we said, well, that was good. We didn't do a dinner. We got catering. We played mini golf with our practice members and they loved it. And then we did bowling. We went bowling with them and they loved it. And so even if you don't get a new patient, they don't bring guests, think of how much that brings to their engagement to your care. Like, these people are less likely to discontinue or choose to go to a different chiropractor because of that community experience. So do that with your classes too. Create, like we did a healthy happy hour. We did it for St. Patrick's Day. So we did healthy happy hour, and we had someone make like healthy smoothie cocktails, versions of drinks, right? And so people had fun at happy hour in our office without alcohol. And it was a nutritional education. They brought their friends. It was like a party, but it was a healthy party.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, just that, if you have just watched this and you just that one thing, your patient of the week, that you take every quarter, you take those people to dinner or do something fun with them or whatever. If you listen to this now, can you imagine the connection, the community, the long-term client that's going to stay with you? Because, I mean, it's a get just that. If you've watched this 30 minutes, and I want to keep these like nice and short so you guys get a lot of value in a short space of time. But I'm going to tell you, if you just took that one piece, your practice will grow exponentially from that one thing. You see, that's the longest standing thing you've done, eh?
Longest standing thing we've done. Our practice members love it. Those people never quit. They stay, right? And that's what you want. And that's growing a lifetime wellness practice.
Beautiful. But I'm going to tell you this. Anyone listening to this now, that, you know, to make sure you have the discipline of having a patient the week every week, and then the discipline of making sure you take them all out and do something with them every quarter for 20 years or something. No, listen, that goes
on. That's what you do.
People get bored of things. They look for the next shiny object, a new Facebook thing that's going to change their life. And you just tick away at that thing and it'll grow your practice. So, doctor, listen, I hope if you've been listening to this right now, there was multiple nuggets in there, but that last one, if you just did that, your practice is going to explode. So, Dr. Dan, thank you so much. That was incredible, by the way. Just absolutely incredible. Thank you for your time on this summit. We really appreciate you. Please check out Dr. Dan's stuff. Please come to Maha. It's an incredible event. Please, you know, I know that you also teach and adjusting too. So please keep out for his events. And we love and appreciate you. Thank you so much. Anything you want to say as we close off?
No, I'm just grateful to share. I'm grateful to help chiropractors around the world have more people on more tables more often, because the world needs that. That's not about us. It's about them. The world needs us more. And I so appreciate everything that you do. Ryan, we can't wait to see you at Mile High. People, check that out. RiseUpToMileHigh.com. We want to see you at a higher altitude. We'll see you there.
See you there.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the video. I hope it was helpful. If you haven't yet subscribed, please subscribe, hit the like button, and share the video or leave a comment. It really means a lot to me. Also, if you haven't subscribed, my statistics show that over 70% of you that watch my videos aren't subscribed. Hit the subscribe button. You do not want to miss the practice growth strategies I'm going to be teaching over the next couple of months. See you on the other side.